T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ah, Clint Sterner, Run, the show, Hughley in with you. And one of the big stories, man, in the offseason is, man, where is Deshaun Watson? Where is his mindset? You trade away his guy, his number one receiver, the man that was at Clemson on his recruiting trip. I saw this article during his Zoom meeting when he was doing something in Ashley's home store. And he said, we're excited about the veteran weapons, the new weapons we have. He praised Tim Kelly and said he's going to kill it. Any concern now where we are from where we were at the beginning, where he was making these comments, these tweets about Drake and Duar? Do you have any concern on the mindset of Deshaun Watson?
I was going to say, I'm glad you focused that in on the mindset of Deshaun Watson, because I was going to say concern. Hell yeah, I got concern. But no, I think Deshaun Watson is still young in this league, and he's still trying to find himself in this league. But I do believe that when you talk about these quarterbacks in particular, you know, their ability to compartmentalize and have short-term memories is the best in the world, man. The ability to move on beyond adversity and move on beyond successes and move on beyond losing your number one target that you had great chemistry with. I think that's something that Deshaun, one, he has to, obviously, because he's not here any longer. But two, I think that's something, one of the aspects that makes Deshaun Watson so special is the ability to move on to the next, regardless of how good, bad, or indifferent last week was, or the last hour, or the last day was. His ability to move on beyond it, I think, is unique, as it is with all really, really, really good quarterbacks. And so, yeah, no, I mean, I think mentally he's in a good place and embracing the weapons that he has currently on the Texans roster.
Like, it feels like he just had a human moment, right? Like, yeah. At the beginning, I think you said that when, like, he's human, yeah, man. Like, that moment, especially when we come to find out how he found out. Yeah. And if you don't remember that, he found out he was with his throwing coach, and his throwing coach just pulled up Twitter when they had got done
hanging out with his QB coach, Quincy Avery. They're just hanging out after a workout, and he goes, "Oh, hey, by the way, did you see this?" So yeah,
but he had a moment, and he sees what's going on, and we all talked about the things we love about Deshaun is his maturity, and it came, and he's ready to roll. We heard it from Tunzel first that they talked about it's got to be on us, and they worked out together. We've been hearing him in these Zoom meetings. Brandon Cooks has praised him in a major way. Tim Kelly has praised him in a major way. I could understand why there was concern. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. When he came out with back-to-back Twitter messages, I said, man, he is not happy. And then it came out how he found out. But I don't think there is any reason to be concerned anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm not concerned with where Deshaun Watson's mindset is. I mean, I think we'd be crazy to. It's okay to sit here and say, hey, Deshaun Watson is beside himself with the fact that he no longer has DeAndre Hopkins. And then you move forward and you look at it and you go, but he can also be extremely happy with the changes that were made. He can also be extremely happy about the weapons that are in-house right now with the Texans. Look, there's no doubt about it.
He could see this. He could see what can happen.
Oh, there ain't no doubt, Show. There ain't no doubt about it that Deshaun Watson looked at this receiving core and goes, not only can these cats fly, right? They run great routes. I've got depth because now Kenny Stills is my fourth guy. I mean, when you look at what the Texans have right now from a quarterback's perspective, if you don't get excited about that receiving core top to bottom, forget the running backs and the fact that both of those guys can catch the ball in the backfield really well. Forget the tight ends and the fact that you've got an old head that can run block, that's great in the RPO game, that's great in the play action game, a young cat in Jordan Akins that can go and is very, very athletic, Jordan Thomas, who has some freakish talent that whether it ever plays out at the NFL level, I don't know. And then you've got a guy that was drafted in the third round last year in Kahale Waring, who, boy, tangibles, he's got them all. Forget about all those guys if you're the quarterback. Just sit there and go, oh, by the way, you got five offensive linemen returning. Forget about all that. Just this receiving group, if you're a quarterback, you are very, very fortunate to be surrounded by these guys, period. So it's okay to be pissed off, still be pissed off. We're talking about it 2 months later. It's okay to be pissed off about DeAndre Hopkins not being here, but in that same breath, you need to realize that this is an ideal situation for a young quarterback when you've got four guys that can go at the receiver position.
I'll say it for myself, Clint. I think I overblew it. Because at that moment, when it first started coming out,
yeah,
I was all right with the first one. And then when he came out again with the second comment on Twitter, I said, oh, God. Oh, God. I'm really wondering what's his mindset, how he's going to react to this, because I just hadn't seen him in that space. But I will say it. I think I overreact. I won't speak for nobody else. I think I over and blew that part out of proportion. If you did, if you agree that I think I did and didn't think to myself of at some point the competitor comes into you and says, they're turning this thing over to me.
Yeah.
They're making this my offense. They're making me the focal point and for me to make these decisions. And they're giving me stuff to make decisions with that you just listed. And I forget all those things you said. Don't even think about that offensive line, those tight ends, those backs. At some point, the competitor comes out and you're like, I'm about to be great.
Yeah. Well, initially, though, show, and I agree with you 100%. I mean, the competitor comes out and you go, hey, man, I'm going to go to battle with whatever I'm going to go to battle with. But at some point, right, I mean, you've got to look at this thing and say they signed another weapon for you. Okay. And again, I'm not even talking about David Johnson and Duke John. I'm not talking about the running backs. I'm talking about the receiver position. They signed two weapons for you in Randall Cobb and what's my man's name?
Oh, Brandon Cooks, man.
And Brandon Cooks.
We're going to get you to remember that.
I don't know why, but my mind goes blank every time we go to talk about it. But when you're talking about those two guys, I mean, it's like, had they not made those moves, then hell yeah, I'd have been.
If they sit here with Kiki and
yeah, come on, man,
Carter,
come on, man, and really, before the Cooks deal, I would have been very, very, I'd have been very frustrated. There'd have been some smoke in the city, but when there appears to be a plan in place as a quarterback, I'm talking about if I'm Deshaun Watson, as a quarterback, when they go out there and bring those pieces in and then explain to you what the plan is. Hey, man, you got to pull the bootstraps up and go to work. And I'll say it again loud and clear. If you're a quarterback and you're not happy with being surrounded with what the Texans have surrounded the quarterback with for the 2020 season and beyond,
you got to stop pouting.
Then something's wrong.
Yeah, you got action.
Something's wrong. Action. Yeah, ain't no doubt.
That five up front, that everything you got in the back. Now, I mean, maybe you're thinking a little bit about play caller. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're thinking – well, those polos, as you would say. Maybe. But you got to feel good about that. But he talked Tim Kelly up. He talked. So I think we are in a good place. All of it, where Deshaun is in a good place. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here, man. So you still on this bike, man?
I'm on it, baby. I'm on it. I hit it this morning.
Me think about it, man. You're going to make me. I just don't think I can do
it. Hey, I got on it this morning, man. I think I finished in the top 14,000 out of 80,000 people on there.
Look at you. That's good, right? Hey, that sounds good.
Hell, it was real good for me. I was proud of it. My legs are going to be sore, Chief. My legs are going to be sore. I ain't going to lie. I was pushing it because it's one of them things where if you don't, on that Peloton, if you don't turn up the resistance, then a lot of times you'll slide back. So when it starts burning and you turn the resistance down, you'll backslide a couple positions. That number starts going the wrong direction.
Oh, I bet you that. Oh, see, I know you a nut.
Yeah,
I bet
yeah,
you that
on,
drives
man.
Your ass.
I got
you in here.
I got to turn that resistance back up and get to work. But yeah, man, this morning I think I finished like 13, 13,600 somewhere, something like that.
How long is the ride?
30 minutes. Well, you can do 45 minutes. Hell, you can do as long as you want to.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do 30. I need to do something. I'm trying to.
That's all. Hey, just effort. Don't never fail from a lack of effort, baby. That's the key.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I came in here and I looked at the parts on this show. I mean, I got to pick it up. Hey, I gotta pick it up. I mean, I ain't ugly.
No, I ain't saying that.
I got a fresh haircut. I'm at least a 7.5.
Speaking of, I gotta get one of them too.
I gotta pick it up. I gotta get my. You saw that lunch, man. I tried to put together a real nice lunch.
A little sandwich and some old dry broccoli.
Yeah, it was dry as hell.
Yeah, you went from one extreme to another, right?
I was just looking at ranch.
Wife cooking pork chops and all kinds.
Just thinking about ranch to dip it in is what I was. And eating it, but I got to try something, man. I'm trying to hit this gym, try to work out.
I want to get down with my Houston Peloton riders. I want to get with everybody. By the way, I'm Dirty Red 14. Dirty Red 14 is my Peloton username. I guess is what they call it. Not real sure what they call it. I'm getting used to this. So look me up. Let's get a ride. Let's get an H-Town ride going. At some point in time, and show we may get you on board one day.
I need to do something. I'm trying to do something, man. I get concerned about that stuff. Like 30 minutes feels like a window I can do, but I just can't do long distance. I can't do long. Like I need short stuff. Like for me, I envy folks who say, "Man, I'm about to go out here and hit about 3 miles." The good Lord didn't bless me to feel that way.
I can do it, but I damn sure don't like it. I promise you that. I'm mad the whole way I'm going. The heat is tearing me up. My feet hurt. That's the bad thing is I got to an age now, and maybe it's a weight because I let my weight get a little heavier than I typically do. I don't, but my knees are screaming at me when I try to jog in a neighborhood.
It's just the time, man. I'm just like, I just need
personal trainer Bridge chiming in. Interval training is actually better for triggering fat loss than extended periods of time. So actually doing 100 meters.
Is that quicker stuff?
Yes, that's quick. That's quick. Get your heart rate super high and then bring it all the way down. Get your heart rate super high. I promise it triggers fat.
You ain't no personal trainer.
Yes, I am.
Come on now.
Yes, I am.
Come on now. She wears many a hat, brother.
You need to help me.
Yeah. You got to in-house. Here's your project.
You got it.
I got time. So what, like, what's that, like 30? Is that what, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off?
Yeah. I mean, wait, don't worry. I'm going to start programming some workouts for you. We're going to do a before and after.
I don't like this.
And I'm getting all the credit.
I tell you what I use. Don't try to crawfish now. You go now. You're gonna get all the credit.
I don't
now.
Mean
see,
she said she put together. You don't know what things that I'm capable of doing.
Hey, so here. Yeah, no, I don't need you training. Show. I don't need. I'm gonna put a stop to this right
kill
now. Outside of the studio, I don't need none of that. Show's gonna come in mad as hell at Bridget one day because she done pushed him too hard, and I'm gonna have to deal with it for 4 hours. Now we ain't doing that. Hell, no, we ain't doing that. Because if she ain't pushing you that hard, she ain't doing her job at training. Now we ain't doing that. But here's the deal. There is I do want the Interval Trainer app. It's an app. An interval timer app. And I use it. You can set it all up where you can work out. You go hard for 30 seconds and it's just it dings every time. 30 seconds, ding, you rest. 20 seconds, ding, you get back to work. So you set that thing up and you just bang right through it and you get lost in the dings essentially. Mm. And I there you go. Bam. Work, ding again, and then you just rest. But it gives you something to where it's thoughtless. You get in there, you get to work, you grind.
How long is an interval workout?
Because what I do three circuits, right? So I do three circuits, three times through each circuit. So it ends up being 39 to 40 minutes. But here's the crazy thing is I've always been a circuit trainer. Like I've always trained with circuits, and I've always had three circuits of five exercises, right? That's what I've always tried to do.
See, I can do that. Moving, different stuff.
Yeah, it's moving and shaking, right? But the crazy thing is, show, is like before I started using this thing, it would take me 45, 50 minutes. Sometimes I was the timer, the dinger keeps you at such a pace and you don't even realize it's going on that I finish it in sub 40 every single time.
Yeah, because if I'm left to count my 30 seconds.
It's keeping you accountable. That's pretty cool. I'm going to get that.
No, it's great. Yeah,
I'm going to get that.
I'll show
awesome.
You guys. It's killer. And it's, you know, like Lauren likes to work out. Like mom jumps in every now and then. Well, they like to stop and talk about their day.
Yeah,
you look at the way I got mine set up. We work for 30 seconds. You talk. You rest for 20 seconds. You got 20 seconds to talk about your day, and your ass better be have dumbbells in your hands when that thing dings to start the next rep. Boy, they get heated on me, but I get them right
because I need to have something. something that I'm not keeping my own time.
Yeah, you don't need. 30, I don't trust you with that.
Because my 30 will turn into 70.
Yeah, you'll be. Yeah, I know what you'll be doing.
Turn into 70 seconds. A player for the Texans has put potentially the owner in a tough situation. We'll get into that coming up. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hugo, Clint, the NFL, and Roger Goodell released their statement in regards to everything that happened over the weekend involving George Floyd and everything that fell out. And his statement reads, the NFL family is greatly saddened by the tragic events across the country. The protesters' reactions to these incidents reflect the pain, anger, frustration that so many of us feel. Our deepest condolences go out to the family of Mr. George Floyd and to those who have lost loved ones, including the families of Miss Breonna Taylor in Louisville and Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, the cousin of Tracy Walker of the Detroit Lions. As current events dramatically underscore, there remains much more to do as a country and as a league. These tragedies inform the NFL's commitment and our ongoing efforts. There remains any urgent need for action. We recognize the power of our platform in communities as a part of the fabric of the American society. We embrace the responsibility and are committed to continue the important work to address the systemic issues together with our players, clubs, and partners. And Kenny Stills, the wide receiver for the Houston Texans, responded with a basically F you.
Yeah, it was interesting. And I understand where Kenny Stills is coming from. I really do. I mean, it's one of those deals. It's kind of what you and I talked about earlier when I said, you know, I've chosen to this point to not comment via social media simply because the hollow comments and the hollow responses, the knee jerk, a lot of this stuff is just, you know, Kenny Stills says, man, I've heard this before. I'm tired of talk. You know, it's time for action. It's hollow. And so, yeah, man, Kenny Stills put it out there. I mean, it was one of those things where it didn't take long for him to step up, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's been a vocal, one of the more vocal players about racial injustice in our country. And he's always done, you know, to this point, what I think has been an admirable job in terms of picking and choosing when to speak, what to say, how to say it, when to take other actions outside of speaking. So, yeah, Kenny Stills clearly didn't approve of the message that the NFL put out.
Yeah, especially probably feels it's hollow when you look at everything that happened over the last 3 years with the Colin Kaepernick situation, the hiring processes of the league, all of that on it. But I think I was listening to In the Loop with Landry and listening to the OG, and I thought they brought up a really good discussion, and a point that I think we should have is, I mean, what does this mean for the Texans? What does this mean for Bill O'Brien, the ownership, when one of your players comes out and just gives the seven up yours to Roger Goodell, the commissioner? Do you think that this means there's a move made or something that needs to be addressed by the ownership? Kyle McNair is the ownership.
In terms of addressing Kenny Stills?
Yes.
No. I think when you signed Kenny Stills or trade included Kenny Stills in the package that you received from the Miami Dolphins with Laremy Tunsil, I think that you decided at that point as an organization that you were going to accept whatever came with Kenny Stills. And I think that point was made loud and clear. Kenny Stills is not a guy that has ever said that he wasn't going to be vocal. He's never backed down from the face of being one of the faces of, again, the social injustice. So I think from the Texans organization, when they agreed to acquire Kenny Stills last year, I think at that point in time, they made the decision that they were going to be on board with and accept Kenny Stills and what he stands for off the field as much as they do on the field. So, no, I don't think this is something that, in terms of Kenny Stills commenting on the NFL, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, commenting on his initial comment, I don't think it's something that the Texans should address.
Yeah, I don't either. I know Lopez was really big on saying that he wants to hear and he think you should hear from Kyle McNair and that he's put him in the – I don't see that. Like, I mean, would you love to? Sure. I'd love to hear people's feelings and thoughts on a guy that's as powerful as Kyle McNair. Yeah, but I don't think there's a need to hear from him. And I don't think I don't think people would look at him differently if he didn't come out and speak.
Yeah, so I don't need to, like, I don't think there's a need for him to. And I quite frankly don't necessarily want him to. I mean, like, it's sure, the owner of an organization, would you like to hear an owner of any organization come out and speak, particularly a white, you know, 60 to 70 year old owner in this league? It would be interesting. It would spark some interest, sure. But does Kyle McNair need to come out and speak in response to what Kenny Steeles did? No. And here's the part that, like, I just can't help but, when you know Kyle McNair and you've had conversations with Kyle McNair and you've seen Kyle McNair address the media or speak at an event, you're not going to get a whole lot out of Kyle McNair speaking to the media, whether he's talking about Bill O'Brien being the GM or he's talking about Kenny Steeles throwing up the middle finger to the NFL's comment on George Floyd. It doesn't matter what you want or what you expect or that the position that he holds. What are you truly going to get if Kyle McNair decides to speak? And we all know what that is. And I'm not knocking Kyle McNair. It's the truth of the matter. If Kyle McNair speaks, it's going to be short. It's going to be very broad brushed. And it's going to be an overview, a 30,000 foot view of something. You're not going to get a deep-hearted, well thought out. That's disrespectful. But you're just not going to
get what some people want.
You're not going to get the deep, well thought out. You know, you're just not going to get that message from him. And so I have a hard time sitting here having a conversation with you, Shogo. Yep, I need Kyle McNair to speak, damn it. Whether we're talking about the GM or we're talking about the George Floyd situation and NFL players speaking out. When it's all said, do I want to hear Jerry Jones speak? Hell yeah. He loves that. You know what, Jerry's going to give you something. Jerry's going to bring something. There's certain owners and coaches and players that I think they should speak. And there's certain owners, coaches, and players that I'm like.
And you're meaning generally of anything.
Anything. It's just like for me and you to sit here and have a conversation about, you know, dang it, I want I think Kyle McNair needs to speak. For what? I mean, what do you expect? You expect Kyle McNair to say? What do you think that Kyle McNair is going to give you as the owner of the Texans? What's he going to give you that you and I are going to sit here and go, damn, that was good. Man, that was unbelievable.
Especially for that. Like you said, Jerry, it would be great to hear from Jerry. It would be great. I don't think Jerry would need to. I don't think there would be any owner. I guess you'd have to see the circumstance, but I couldn't see any owner having to address something that one of his players said in reference to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think let's use Jerry. Let's say DeMarcus Lawrence came out and said something and said, well, Roger, whatever Kenny said. I don't think that I need to say, well, God, DeMarcus said this about what the commissioner said. I need to hear from his own. Like, for me, I don't think that, and I don't need to hear a lot of what you said about Cal. I don't need to hear. Now, I'll tell you one reason why we would want to hear from him, if he traded Kenny Steeles.
Come on.
That has to be off the table now, right? That has to be off the table. There were discussions and conversations where people were talking about, and this is prior to this, where people were talking about, hey, Green Bay needs a receiver. You may be able to get something out of it. I know Wade Smith, before you left, brought up a really good conversation in terms of bringing in Larry Warford. And if you bring him in, what do you need? Another receiver, make it $7 million. There was a thought of trading Kenny Steeles for real football reasons. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
Then I need to hear from Cal.
Yeah, now you're on to something, right? I mean, I just think in general, like, him speaking is irrelevant. He can only do what he can naturally, genuinely, and sincerely do. And I think that is going to ring hollow to a lot of folks in terms of speaking, you know, on what Kenny Steeles did or speaking on the George Floyd, situation. But when you talk about the organization making a move with a player that just gave the middle finger to the commissioner and is one of the faces of that social injustice that is in our country, then now, yeah, I mean.
You would be I honestly believe it. If they said, all right, we're going to trade Kenny Stills, you'd be the A story of football and sports right now if it happened right after this. That he makes that response to him, and then you trade him.
Yeah, and now I'll say this: like I think, show like all the ancillary issues, all the issues around the NFL right now, and that obviously again Kenny Stills is somewhat the face of, and the timing would probably want to hear from Cal McNair at that point in time in terms of the Texans organization. Yes.
From the text line 979, there isn't any way a conference or statement from Cal that can be a win for him. Every word would be scrutinized and open to interpretation.
Yeah, and I think Cal's aware of that, and I think Cal is. That's one reason that Cal appears to be uncomfortable in that particular setting, and so that's again that is precisely why I go why. Why do you want to hear? Because he's the owner? Because he has that title? Or do you really? Is there something you really expect Cal McNair to say that's going to change the situation? There's a handful of owners out there that I think are very in touch with the locker room. That are they are very in touch with players and their families and their lives. Many of which are black men and women. They're very involved in those. Relationships, and then there's owners that aren't. They go, hey, I own the team. Joe Blow runs the business side of it. Bill O'Brien, you run the football side of it. Jack Easterby, you help run the football side of it. And I'm up here just hanging as the owner, enjoying my investment. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. I'm just saying I don't give me why you want to hear from Cal McNair. And give me more than just, well, he's the owner of the Houston franchise. Like, I need more than that. Like, we all know what we're going to get.
Ocho from the text line, I'd rather hear about shows, bed, and breakfast deals than any presser. Probably from Cal McNair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, look, I'm with you. I'm with you, Ocho. I'm with you. I mean, I know it's, in theory, it sounds great, man. Bring the owner on. Let us hear about it. Let's hear
baby.
From the owner, man. Let's hear from the guy that owns the joint. But in reality, come on, man. At some point, you got to realize like that just ain't – that you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get what you want out of the – and look, I would rather Cal McNair show – I would rather Cal McNair do what he's doing and be like, hey, this is me, Chief. Genuinely and sincerely, I don't like addressing the media. I don't like speaking in front of crowds. I don't like getting on TV. I don't like being the face of the organization. I'm going to be happy with my family. I love football. I'm going to be on the sidelines. I'm going to run the organization, own the organization. But I ain't real comfortable with all that other stuff. I'm good with it. I would rather.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why he has to.
Bingo.
I don't see a reason.
Bingo.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why he has to. I didn't have to do this either on Friday. And Bridget has this set up. I won't even tell you what the bet is. I know the listeners know this. John McClain.
Teresa.
John McClain laughed at me and got me real stupid and said, you're an idiot. So that's basically what John said. But this is the Texans bet that I got stuck into, and then I want you to listen to how I got duped into what I'm going to have to potentially give up if I lose this bet.
All right, Teresa didn't raise no punk. All right, Smitty didn't challenge me here. You can write this down, Bridget, or any of you all taking notes. What is today? May 29th, the day before I head to Houston, Smitty had the bet with me if the Texans will finish this season with a better record than the Ravens. And I've looked at this, and somehow this year the Ravens don't play a game outside of the Eastern or Central time zones. How the hell they don't have a trip to Denver, Arizona, California, somewhere. All of their games are in the Eastern time zone and the Central time zone. But you know what? I'm going to take that bet. I take it right now. The Houston Texans will fit it. Write it down. I don't know what the bet. What's the bet? You make the bet. You make it. What is it? What's the bet?
I'm going to say this, and I told you this before we started this, that I don't make sucker bets. I only make bets that I know I'm going to win.
You no,
ask, you ask Landry Locker. Landry Locker owes me a bottle.
At this point, I'm getting nervous. I'm like, what the hell is he going to come up with and say? What the hell is he going to come up with and say? Like, at this point, because I'm thinking, how much is this going to cost? I'm thinking, how much is this going to cost? All right, here we go.
Landry Locker owes me a bottle of Hennessy that I haven't collected on yet, but the bets I make, because he had the nerve to bet me that Kyler Murray would not finish in the top three in rookie voting on offense for the MVP.
Well, yeah, but that's silly.
It was a sucker bet. And this is what you're doing for me now. So I'm gonna hold you to the same regard that I hold in Landry. It'll be a bottle of Hennessy that I will take from you. I want some Hennessy from Canada, though. So give me the white Hennessy.
The white, okay. Yeah, the white Hennessy.
Canada, yeah. Give me. I want that bottle. And what you can bet? I'll bet you back the same thing, or you can ask me of something different.
Give me. Same thing. Give me that hen. Okay. Give me some of that. Give me some apple juice.
No confidence. No confidence.
None at all.
None. I was stumbling. I was against the ropes.
Apple
stumbling. It just started coming out of my mouth. I'm sitting here listening to it right now. What am I doing? But I can't stop.
Right.
I can't stop. I gotta go through.
I can't lie to you, show. Like I'm not
no one, chance of winning this bet.
Well, no, you probably don't have a chance of winning that bet. But when you start throwing around like white Hennessy, like my Hennessy knowledge is slim to none. Like it's I've never been
much
a fan.
More expensive.
Like I've never been a fan. Like what makes some regular Hennessy and white Hennessy? What's
well,
the
they
difference?
Made like.
I don't want to put you in a spot. Are you a Hennessy guy?
I'm not really one, okay. Right? And this was the other thing. Here is my thing, and I told him later, like, I like vodka, and I didn't want to. He's throwing out white Hennessy, and I then saw the price on that, and I'm like, man, I don't want to look like no punk and throw out Kettle One like I want to throw
right,
out,
right.
And then it's not even the same price, and I know that I'm the underdog in this bet, so I just stumbled and I said, all right. Okay, White Hennessy, and I'm like, I tried to come back and ask and change my drink to Dom, and he said no.
He said no, thank you?
He said no, I'm not getting you Dom. No, I'm not getting you Dom. I said, but it's a sucker bet. You know I'm going to lose. I'm not getting you Dom.
You're the underdog. I mean, that's right. That's odds, right? You're definitely the underdog. You call it an underdog, or you can say stupid bet.
Because I know you have the Texans at 8-8. That's where you have a feel when you saw the schedule come. I don't know if you've changed there. He said he thinks they're gonna.
I'm more convinced today. I think I may show you tomorrow. So all the listeners out there, I'm working something up.
Right
I'm now. Working something up for tomorrow. That no, I'm strong. I'm holding really, really
it's a
strong.
Hell of a tease, folks.
I'm Listen holding really that. Strong on the 8-8. G.
See, man, I see. What happened was he started talking to me about. Oh yeah, they're gonna win 13, 14 games.
Who?
The Ravens.
Oh.
And so I'm sitting there like, well, hold on now. And this is where this is where the bet should have gone, but I'm stupid, and I just kept, and it didn't got away from me. I'm like, no, they're going to take a step back. They got the real Steelers, not led by Duck Hodges and
Mason Rudolph right?
playing quarterback. The Browns are not being coached by a fan out of the stadium, out of the stands, and Freddie Kitchens. They got a real coach. They've got some improvement. Like, it's not going to be as easy. Last year was the first year you really got to see that new offense. And I should have been like, they're going to take a step back, man. Because I feel like they're going to win about 11 games, maybe 10, 11 games.
Okay.
And I feel like the Texans can get 10, but then I just let that just get the hell away from me.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a sucker bet.
God.
Wade,
I mean,
Wade,
if you hear the end when I'm like, yeah, apple juice, yeah, right there, man. I knew I didn't have.
Do you mix apple juice with hen?
Well, I have before. I like a little hen and apple.
Well,
juice.
Just because you've done something before doesn't make it a
I've
good
idea.
I've
seen other people do it as well. Yes, anybody right now, anybody right now, 713-572.
Anybody protesting right now, shoot us a text.
Yeah, anybody protesting
right now that likes apple juice,
yeah,
send us a text.
Anybody out there with an apple juice, you're protesting right now. 713-572-4610. You mix apple juice with your hen. You ain't never a little dash of apple juice with your hen. Maybe I'm alone. Maybe that's the case.
This sounds like one of them deals where you're trying to make it right. Like, I mean, I enjoy having some pops. And I've had, I'm a Coors Light guy, but when I get into the liquor, I'm a tequila guy. And I love tequila so much that there's time, you know, sometimes you just go, okay, well, I wonder what it tastes like with this. And sometimes you just completely miss. Sometimes you hit the nail on the head. When you did the little dab of apple juice in your hand, was it good? Oh, see, if it took you that long to answer, you're lying.
It was cool. I did it because I seen somebody else do it. Yeah, Drea. That's who did it. I'm going to put you right out there. Drea used to put apple juice in hers, so I tried it. And I'm like, oh, it's cool. But I don't love Hennessy.
Drea off Basketball Wives?
No, Drea is one of my wife's best friends.
Oh.
She'll take you out. She'll kick all her asses. Drea, but I seen it. I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah, somebody said Hennessy and apple juice goes good with a Pop-Tart and spray butter.
That's a throw-up session waiting to happen.
Yeah, look here. Yeah, apple juice and
Hennessy. Well, everybody try it right now. If you got a hen with you right now, go ahead and try it, man.
Let's do this. If you're a Hennessy drinker, 713-572-4610, what do you mix it with? Or do you drink it straight? Do most people drink it straight?
I think a lot of people drink it straight.
What kind of liquor is Hennessy? Is it a whiskey?
Yeah.
It's a whiskey?
Like a cognac.
A cognac.
What? What'd you say?
Cognac.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I would say cognac.
I'd say cognac.
Cognac?
That's what you, when you're 22 and you ain't never had no cognac.
Never mind.
Never had no
Is
cognac?
That what they say at Pasadena?
Hey, I'm out of here now. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. No, man, I don't feel as bad. I don't feel as good about this bet as my steak bets. I don't. Like, I'm not coming into that. I did think it got away from me. I almost made a bet earlier, later on in the show, that involved John McClain shaving my head in studio, but I was able to pull that off.
You can pull off the bald head.
But I don't want to.
You got any imperfections on your dome?
I think I got a dent on the left side.
You got a little dent? You get away with a dent.
Yeah, I mean, I've done bald
It's
before.
Definitely round, as I'm looking at you right now. You got a round dome, so you can get away with that. There's not no cone head.
And I got enough facial hair. Listen, I'm heading that way now. I know you see it.
Hey, I'm with you, man.
Bridget, stop laughing that hard. I know. I'm peeking right here.
I thought it looked good. I'm serious.
So we're gonna open up the door right here. Let me tell you what Bridget said to me when she walked in. And yes, Clint is a big time tequila drinker. I wouldn't take Clint as somebody who mixes it with Red Bull.
I don't do tequila and Red Bull. I like to keep my heart where it's at. I don't need to drink with Red Bull.
She walked in as we were sitting in here getting ready for the show, and she said, "You're not at all what I pictured you'd look like." And she walked out, and I don't know, folks. I don't know. You listen to her. I don't know. Clint, I don't know if that was a nice or a damn.
It was a nice. Well,
there she is. She's got a mic.
You look a lot nicer than I thought. Like,
well, what did I look like?
I don't know. Angry? On social media, you just look a little, you have a very, you have a nice smile. And on social media, you know, it's kind of like, you never know if that's exactly.
You do come across on like Zoom meetings and things like that we've been having on social media.
I look angry.
Like you kind
you
of
have
yeah,
kind
of
eyes
grumpy.
In person.
I don't know if angry, kind of grumpy, because like when you talk, you're a happy dude, like a passionate dude. But yeah, there's a grumpy side there when you first like if I didn't know you,
really,
it would be there's a little bit of a grumpy.
But in person, you have very kind eyes. It was a good thing, I swear.
You're doing a good job, Bridget. She went from your nice smile
like the way
to your
you
kind
land,
eyes.
The way you landed
okay,
on,
turn.
I just don't believe you.
Okay, my turn, guys.
I don't believe you. Just laying it thick, man. I was like, yeah.
I was like, who is this, Clint? Who's this guy in here?
Brought your partner to work today, huh?
When's show getting here? Oh, that's what it is. Oh, because I mean, you didn't lie to me already and talk about, oh, you can work out. You can do the exercise. You know, good and hell well, you looked. I know you looked at me and said, yeah, he can't do no interval.
Hey,
you know how hard she laughed? Hey.
Bridget walked in and is like, uh-oh, got a client. That's my next client right there.
I gotta get to this real quick, man. Clint Stern and Ron, the show, Hughley and Mean Bridget is we're here until 6 o'clock. Dominique Foxworthy this morning. I was so elated to see this. that finally somebody approached the Houston Texans in the national media and didn't have a mindset of approaching it with their disdain for Bill O'Brien and his decision making.
Fair.
Because every time I hear something like from national media, it's with the outlook of, oh, the Texans had the worst offseason of anybody from Bill Barnwell. No, you're just saying that because of your feeling of Bill O'Brien. But they did. Dominic Foxworth, the former cornerback, works at ESPN, played with the Broncos. I remember him there. He said he came up with his top five new quarterback wide receiver duos. His top five. So when he started listing them off, he got a number five, which was Drew Lock and Jerry Jeudy.
They're gonna be cold blooded.
You think so? I don't know.
Well, they got
I like.
What's my man's Courtland Sutton?
Courtland Sutton is nice.
He's cold blooded now.
Yeah, they also
got Noah Fant, the
Hamlin.
Tight end.
They drafted the speed guy from Penn State.
Ooh,
Hamlin. I like their group. I just don't believe in Drew Lock. So that's my problem. Number four, they had Breeze and Emmanuel Sanders. Loved that. And then when he got to Brady and Mike Evans, calm down. He got to Brady and Mike Evans. I was like, he ain't going to put them on this list. There's just no way they're going to put – there's no way. And I was waiting to come in here. And then number two, he said, Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks. And he talked about the deep ball and the opportunity for them to take the top off and the great things. And, of course, number one, he had Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Buzzkill.
Ocho, go ahead and lose your mind, Ocho.
Buzzkill.
But I was happy to see finally somebody in the national media – didn't talk about the Texans by using and letting Bill O'Brien and his decisions and how they feel about his decisions determine how they feel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a fair way to look at it, man, is I hear what you're saying in terms of finally somebody looking at it with excluding Bill O'Brien and the suspect decisions that he's made over the last couple of years and just looking at it for what it's worth. And in reality, Deshaun Watson's got some pretty damn talented wide receivers around him at this point in time. And when you really dig into the Watson, Cooks, wide receiver, quarterback duo, and you really look at what Deshaun Watson currently does really, really well and what Cooks brings to the table physically and what he does really, really well, you got to believe, at least where we sit today, you got to believe that is going to be a great combination. You've got to believe that they're going to complement each other in a big, big way. And I'll say this, show. I think when you talk about Cooks in the route running, I'm really high on Fuller and his route running. Cobb obviously is a great route runner, a mismatch problem inside at the slot position. That you talk about helping a quarterback take the next step is guys that can create opportunities with their routes. And I'm talking about the mid-range game, quick game at this point in time, screen game. All three of the guys I mentioned can do that as well. So, the Watson-Cooks combination, man, it not only do they complement each other's strengths really, really well, Cooks has an opportunity to help Deshaun develop in a big way.
But I don't want to leave this out. You said something that I think goes under-talked about. That even makes sense.
I know what you. I get hung up on that all the time, too. By the way,
but you said this a couple of weeks ago that I think we also need to look at is maybe one of the best things that Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly potentially do with this offense is put together plays and game plans that go down the field. They're really good at putting together concepts of deep routes.
Oh yeah, no, they do that.
That may be the best thing that they do as well. And you said that a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, you know what? You're right about that. If they're getting Will Fuller so open when he's been able to be healthy to play, that is something that they excel pretty well at too. So when you combine those three things, it may be the best thing that all three, the receiver, the quarterback, and the play caller and the play designer do.
Yeah, so their strengths get stronger. The question is the only way they take the next step is if their weaknesses – get stronger as well, and there's no doubt about that. So that's all the strengths align with all three parties that you just mentioned: quarterback, play caller, and receiving core. Right now, I just think that this receiving core and this approach it could be very, very quarterback friendly in terms of trusting receivers to create separation, trusting receivers to get into a certain void on a defense, and not just one, but all, there's three to four guys across the board that do it in a very similar fashion. I think when you talk about how it relates to Deshaun Watson's development and his ability to develop, this is a really good situation for him.
Yeah, I like it. I'm glad they put him on the list. Like, yeah, easily I would, like, when I saw Brady and Evans, I said, oh hell, they just gonna completely.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have him at two.
I was gonna say, where would you have him?
Ooh, it wouldn't be at two. I wouldn't have him ahead of Brady and Evans.
Really,
man, I'm telling you,
everything Brady, you just said about that combination, yeah, is the difference with Brady and Evans. Like, Evans is really good down the field, and that you wouldn't
I trust Brady's ability to, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense's ability to not force that to happen. Okay. I don't trust the Texans yet to be consistently good in that mid-range game, quick game, screen game, throwing the ball to the running backs, those kind of things. Like, I don't trust them to be as good as their talent is at this point in time.
Yeah. The biggest story that has happened in this country, we give a real serious conversation. We'll get into that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.